Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks for hanging around with us. It's good to be with you as always. My website is www.jbsba.com. www.jbsba.com. That stands for, that's the acronym for Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate. Maybe that'll help you remember it. Don't forget to check it out when you get a chance. And when you get there, we got a lot of different things you can do on the site there, including the opportunity to subscribe to my free newsletter. Let's get our good friend Jim Ballard in here. Jim is a good friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's the author of a number of books, including What's the Rush, one of my favorites, and his newest book called Mind Like Water, Keeping Your Balance in a Chaotic World. And that's exactly what Jim helps us do. Jim Ballard, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim. Good to be here.
It's good to have you back, Jim, as always. It's a pleasure to have you here because, as I was telling the audience before you got here, Jim, you know, man does not live by bread alone, and small business owners do not live by their business alone. And what I, the point I was making was that if we try to live only by only for our businesses, we're going to wind up being very unhappy people, and because you know our business is going to let us down. We got to have a well-rounded, balanced life. And you help us do that. You help us to understand not only the importance of having a balanced life, but how to get one of those. And I know today you've got on your mind self-esteem. You want to? I asked the audience, you know, to ask yourself this question: do I have self-esteem? Do I have enough self-esteem? Do I have too much self-esteem? Is it possible, Jim, to have too much self-esteem?
Well, you know, a minute ago you were talking about the success not just being you didn't call it success, but I really think that success can be defined not solely, like you said, by business, by material success and so on, because you can have all kinds of goodies, but if you're not happy, what good is it?
Money and stuff won't make you happy, will it?
I'm sorry?
Money and stuff by themselves won't make you happy.
Right. Toys don't do it. And so what does it? What is it that makes us happy, that makes us contented, that makes us feel fulfilled, and so on? There are really many factors to that, health and good relationships and those things, and having some success and work that we like and so on. But today I'd like to talk with you about the feelings that we carry around every day about ourselves, about whether we're good enough, about whether we're acceptable in our own eyes. Because, you know, when you have coming from another person like a boss, the notion that you never do well enough, that you pick up your feet, you dummy, you didn't do well enough on that, then you don't want to work there anymore. But what if you have that going on in your head all the time?
Right.
You're talking about
making sure that we feel comfortable inside our own skin.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And a lot of people don't. And there's a lot, you know, that the outer world can give us that we can buy into that makes us feel that we're not enough.
Does our self-esteem come from, how much of it comes from external and how much of it comes from internal?
I think if we look at the term self-esteem, we've got to say it all comes from internal.
Okay.
Because it's really the notion that we have about ourselves. And people who have self-esteem can shrug off the opinions of others, you know, because they know they're good. They know they're okay. So if someone treats them as if they're not, that doesn't matter to them as much. It doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt. But that's the balance that we've got to have. You know, we talk about balance, and we have to respect the notions of others and see if we have criticism, you know, if there's truth in it, and correct ourselves. But feeling good as a basis for even doing that is important. And I know that you and I have talked about from the standpoint of parents, would you rather have your kid be in school for a year, have a teacher who was very sharp, was an expert on the subject matter, and also didn't like herself? Or would you have, would you rather have your kid be with one, a teacher who was maybe not so knowledgeable and experienced, but was a delight to be around?
You know, I've had both of those experiences, and my kids have had both of those experiences. And
right.
and it's interesting. It's it can be painful, but looking back, it's interesting to see the difference in the way the children flourish under the two different scenarios.
So, what was your answer? Would you rather have?
Oh, there's no question. I'd rather be around the person who I wanted to be around because you know, if you've got, and I think the point you're making is if you've got self-esteem, you can accomplish lots of things. But without self-esteem, you're going to be limited, aren't you?
Yes. And you know, all of us can look and say, there's probably some area in which I've been carrying around some blame or some guilt or some regret. And you know, my word this morning to myself and to you and to everybody is, why don't you let yourself up? You know, let yourself off the hook. Because if you're feeling that, it really means that you are conscientious, that you are concerned about doing right and being mm-hmm. right. But you don't have to have those regrets and
that
guilty feeling.
Are you saying we should forgive ourselves?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I've got a story that goes along with that when I have a little time to tell it, because I know we have a break coming up.
Can you tell it in a minute?
I can start it.
Okay.
And it's a story about myself. There was a time when I was in grief. I was in grief at the loss of a marriage, and I was kicking myself around, and I just couldn't seem to get over it. And one night, I'm not a drinking guy, but one night I went, I was sitting alone and feeling bad, and I said, you know, maybe it'll help if I get drunk. And I went out to a liquor store. I didn't even know what to get, you know, but I ended up with a bottle of rum. And I came home, and I just started pouring glasses full of that and downing them, you know? Well, I'll tell you, the next morning when I woke up, I felt strange. And I went in the bathroom, and there was this mess that somebody had made.
Yeah.
I had no idea who it was because I didn't remember doing that. And so as I was cleaning it up, of course I figured it out, but as I was cleaning it up, I was saying, sort of like, this guy has made a mess in my bathroom, but I completely understand him and
right.
forgive him.
Yeah. Very. It's almost like he had an out-of-body experience.
Yeah.
Stand by, Jim. I'm not laughing at your pain, but it was an interesting story. Stand by. We'll be right back with our good friend Jim Ballard after these messages. 20 after. We're going to keep working on this self-esteem thing. I could probably use a little bit. Stand by. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Jim Ballard, the author of Mind Like Water, Keeping Your Balance in a Chaotic World. And that's Ballard if you're looking for him in any of the search engine, or if you're looking for him in any of the bookstores, if you want to ask for his books if you don't find them. So, and I encourage you to do that, folks. If you'd like to, if you got money and stuff and lots of things going well in your life, or if they're not going well in your life, I'd encourage you to check out whatever Jim Ballard has to say. I think you'll find that he'll get you back to the center from whichever direction you're coming from. And Jim, you were telling that story, and the reason I was laughing is because I have been where you said that you were. And I remember and I'm not a big drinker either, and I remember thinking at that time, I wish I was a drinking man.
Well, let me finish the story. I would call it a memorable drunken evening, but it wasn't memorable. Meaning that, you know, when I was cleaning up the bathroom the next morning, it was as if the person who had done that was separate from me.
Right.
And because of that, I could put him off there and say, you know, I'm very glad to be doing this for him, because I completely understand what this fool was up to last
mm-hmm.
night, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I completely understand his grief, and I completely forgive him for it. and it felt so good, you know. Well, then I got in the shower, and I kept thinking about that, and I would think about something else that I'd done, and I would forgive myself for that.
So you got on a roll there, didn't you?
I got on a roll, and finally, to my amazement, I said, you know, in fact, I forgive you for everything. I did. And then I began to see, well, you know, I've really been carrying around a lot of stuff that I needed to forgive myself for. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to do this. Now, how come I've had this burden? And since that was many years ago, and since then, in a couple of instances, I've told people about that. I've never told it publicly like this. But fellow that I told it to, and I said, and he said, "You mean you forgave yourself for everything?" And I said, "Absolutely, I did." And it's almost as if I forgave myself for the future too, because I set myself up to be able to do it in the future. You know?
Jim? Did you have to say, "Okay, I remember when you did this really stupid thing, and this is what happened, and this is," and you talked about it a little bit to yourself, and then you said, "I forgive you for that."
I let you off the hook for that. Walk free from that one, right?
And what? How did that help your self-esteem?
Well, I think there was a great burden lifted off of me. I think I felt good about myself from then on. I didn't have that to carry around. And I think I wanted to tell about a guy that I told this about, and he said, mm-hmm. "Well, I couldn't do that." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Because I think it would just make me not care and not feel responsible anymore." And I said, "Well, no, it doesn't do that." And he said, "Well, then, you know, I think I could do it." And I said, "When?" of course, I meant, "Why don't you do it now?" And he said, "Well, I think I'll hold off a little while." I wanted to tell that story, and I wanted to even finish up by telling about that guy, because I think people listening could say, "Well, that sounds like an interesting idea. I might do that sometime."
I bet most people haven't done that.
And to those people, I want to say, when will you do it? Because, you know, nobody else, you're tougher on yourself than anybody else is.
Yep.
And why do you need to be that
way? Should we find a quiet place, a place where we don't have any distractions, where you can really sort of let these things surface and get them out there and deal with them?
Well, I don't know. I don't even know that you have to be that analytical about it.
You think you can just do it on the fly, huh?
Once you get started, you can let it all go.
I think
you can do it driving your car, you know? So I encourage people to do that. Now, self-esteem isn't just forgiving yourself, but I did want to get that in there.
I think that's a good way to think about it, because, as you say, we carry all this baggage around, and it's just another, you know, every time we think of it. I remember William Lee Seat Moon, William Trogdon, who wrote the book Blue Highways, said his grandfather told him, "Some things don't have to be remembered. They remember themselves." And these and all this baggage you're talking about, it does remember itself, and it keeps beating up on us.
Sure, that's right. And, you know, from the standpoint of a small business owner, you have people working for you, and you're like that teacher, one of those two teachers we talked about before. Do you come to work every day freed up, you know, so that you're a delight to be around? Or are you moody, and does that moodiness come from self-recrimination and blame and guilt? Because you know, you want to be a pleasant person to be around because of the ripple effect. That carries down and out to customers.
Yeah.
You want your people to feel good about themselves so that the customers like to shop at your place or on the phone with your people. They really treat you well over there. And that's a function of them being treated well by you. And that's a function of your treating yourself well.
Jim, is it possible that this could put us on the road to forgiving others?
Well, I think, you know, I'm writing a book that has a whole piece in it about that, that this guy couldn't bring it in himself to forgive another person. Mm-hmm. And the guy he was talking to in the book told the story on himself that I told on myself this morning. and he says, "Well, what does that have to do with my forgiving this other person?" And the other guy said, "You'll figure it out."
Jim, I want you to come back and help us figure that out another day. Thank you for being here. It's always a pleasure.
Sure, Jim.
Jim Ballard, ladies and gentlemen, the author of Mind Like Water. Check it out when you get a chance. It'll help you. It helped me. 29 After, I'll be right back with Bill Dunkelberg. The show is brought to you by...
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.